How about the next question from Dr. Merrick?
In an intermediate-risk prostate cancer treated with brachytherapy, the role of supplemental radiation is best described by which of the following statements? So what he had brought up in his talk was that people discuss that it is for intraprostatic dose escalation, to get the sites of extraprostatic extension, and to irradiate the proximal seminal vesicles. Those are the first three choices that were all discussed. But what he also said was that if you do an adequate implant, then you don't need to dose escalate inside the prostate. You should be able to cover some microscopic extraprostatic extension, and the proximal seminal vesicles get treated. So I think in his mind, the true answer was none of the above. But in many people's minds who may be worried about dose inhomogeneity with brachytherapy, which does exist, it may be all of the above. Most people actually chose choice two, 75%, saying that it was to get sites of extraprostatic extension. And I think that of all of the issues that could arise in an intermediate risk patient, disease at 5 millimeters or so from the capsule, which can happen, may not be adequately treated by brachytherapy, because where you may be able to get dose 5 millimeters out in some areas, there's no guarantee you're getting it out that far everywhere.
How about the next question?
In intermediate risk prostate cancer treated with brachytherapy, durable biochemical control is most dependent on, well, the answer that most people gave and that he agreed with is the brachytherapy dose, covering the volume of the gland. And that, I think that's common sense. If you do a good implant and the disease is confined to the prostate, then you're going to have better PSA control. Although I will point out that when you look at the two randomized dose escalation studies by Zeitman and Pollock using external beam, it appears that the reason why the Zeitman study had a much better PSA control rate compared to the Pollock study is because there were more low-risk patients in the Zeitman study compared to the Pollock study, saying to me that the place where getting perfect dose, if you will, to the whole prostate, be it by beam or implant, is going to have its biggest impact in low risk or maybe favorable intermediate risk. As you get into less favorable intermediate risk, the 4 plus 3 equal to 7 with 6 of 6 cores positive and a PSA of 15 and a nodule, I really think that's where, yes, dose to the prostate is important, but don't leave out the hormonal therapy. So I think there's a fine line here and a fine point we should be making. Absolutely, the dose to the prostate's important, but there are places where dose cannot substitute for hormonal therapy when the patient has a risk of micrometastatic disease, which really can be delineated around the 3 plus 4, 4 plus 3 cutoff, and also around the amount of cancer found on the biopsies. When you've got more than half the cores, or you got a 4 plus 3, or you got a PSA that's well in excess of 10, these are the guys I worry about in terms of micrometastatic dissemination.